as we come to Psalm 56, we may observe from the superscription that we come to a new section of Psalms that are known as the Miktam of David, pronounced Miktim. This group of Davidic Psalms runs from Psalm 56 to Psalm 60. And now that specific emphasis of that Hebrew word Miktam is on that which is written. So a Miktam Psalm is one that is aimed at getting God's people to focus on God's written word. We also observe from the superscription that this was a psalm written for the choir director, which means this psalm was to be publicly communicated to the people of God. It's also a psalm according to Jonath Elim Rahakim. The word Jonath is a word that literally means dove. The word Elim is one that means silence. The word Rahakim is one that means distant ones. So this psalm is written by David, who is writing as he feels like a silent, helpless dove who is all alone in a distant region. Now, we may also observe that the psalm was written by David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And there were five key Philistine cities. There was Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, Gaza, and Gath. And the context in which David wrote this particular psalm is found in 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15. David was taken before Achish, the king of Gath, and he pretended to be insane so he could escape. During this time, David felt all alone. He was on the run. He had no one to talk to, and he was in a foreign land. So this is the psalm that David wrote as he was experiencing this. And what this psalm actually teaches us is when we have times in our lives when we feel so helpless and all alone, we need to keep communicating with God and carefully studying and trusting in God's written word, for that is what will ultimately deliver our despairing soul from darkness to light. When you're being faithful to God, there will be times when you feel so out of it. There will be times when enemies will put on you on the defensive to the extent that you are not even acting or thinking like yourself. And when those times hit, it's a time to go to God and carefully crawl into God's written word. And that's exactly what this Miktam Psalm is all about. So let's take a look at it. We see, first of all, where David asks God for his grace. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. So no matter how successful David had been, he never relied on himself. He always relied on God's grace. He always asked God to be gracious to him. He knew he was a sinner who did not deserve grace. And it's because his enemies have trampled on David. Observe that they were trampled on David all day long. In other words, there was no relief. These attacks were relentless. David was God's man. He was God's chosen, anointed king, and he was always getting hammered by some enemy. And evil enemies don't usually just go away. God has to make them go away. These enemies have oppressed David. David was always under some attack or pressure. There were people always trying to box him in, and David felt he always needed to fight for survival. And then his enemies arrogantly fought against him. Notice from verse 2 that many were against David as opposed to a few. And Spurgeon talks about that. He says that persecutors hunt in packs, and wolves of the church seldom come down on us singularly. Evil people are too cowardly to face a man of God one-on-one. They group together and they think their strength is in their numbers. But what they don't realize is the faithful believer's strength is the Lord, and they are about to have God fight against them. David was tired and he was afraid, so he appealed to God for help. When you're being walked on and oppressed by people who are fighting against you, you need to stay focused on the written word and God, so that God would be gracious to you. Look at verses 3 and 4 where David acknowledges that his trust is in God when he's afraid. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Many years ago, there was this columnist. Her name was Ann Landers. And she's asked if there was one theme that was predominant in the 10,000 letters she received each month. She said the most predominant theme was fear. Most people are afraid. Now, some fears are imaginary, but David's fears were not. They were literally many things David faced that caused him to be afraid. And that's important to know. As great a king as David was, he was still a man, and he still had moments when he was afraid. He was feeble and sinful and a finite man who had his own moments of fear. But David not only had fear, but he also had trust. He did not trust in himself, but he did trust in God. And you see that here in these verses. No matter what David went through, he always kept his confidence and trust in God. Difficult times and scary times are good times to develop trust in God. When you're afraid, put your total trust in God. Actually, fear can be beaten by faith. Albert Barnes said there's a good maxim to remember when we face dangerous storms or sickness or death. And just as David said here in verse 3, when I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you. And there's this little boy who had gone to a Sunday school class, and they were teaching him the song Trust and Obey. He hadn't quite mastered the lyrics of the chorus, and he sang something that actually had a powerful theological truth to it. Trust and okay. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. Trust in the Lord, and it will be okay. And David trusted in God's word. David not only trusted in God's word, he praised it. David realized the great importance of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And David developed a deep faith and trust in God through the written word of God. In fact, you'll not ever develop a true, deep trust in God without a proper commitment to God's word. And when you're scared, pick up the word. When you're afraid, go to a church where the scriptures are accurately taught. Your faith will be strengthened. So people who strut around telling others they have no fear also are people with a shallow faith. The reason is because deep faith, like that of King David, is developed in moments of fear. That is when we learn to trust in God and his precious word. And then David observes that his enemies are against him. Look at verses 5 and 6. All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have been waiting for my life. They not only distorted his words, they distorted his intentions. They continually said things David did not say. They twisted his words. Spurgeon said, the common mode of warfare, that's a common mode of warfare among the ungodly. They put our words on the rack and extort meanings we never intended. And his enemies continually thought evil of him. These enemies never thought one good thing about this faithful man who was so committed to God and his word. They actually viewed a godly king through evil minds and speech. And his enemies are continually looking to attack. They're operating in this sneaky fashion, acting like a bunch of spies, trying to get anything on David they could. And notice the text says they lurk, which means they're trying to ambush him. It's a secret behind his back stuff. They don't dare face him to his face. And then David's enemies are continually watching every move. Instead of these people dedicating themselves to understanding and applying God's word to their lives, they're always looking and watching David with the goal to destroy him. This man by the name of Andrew Bonar said, the goal of the world is to seek daily to overthrow God's people. Evil enemies are on this continual lookout to overthrow those that are godly. Now, we're all sinful, so in some respects, if they look long enough, they'll find something. But don't give them ammunition to attack because they are watching. And then David asked God to deliver him from his enemies. Look at verse 7. For their crime, will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples of God? For you have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. So he asked God four things. He asked God to cast down his enemies. It's a request for God to intervene and cast down his enemies. It's the idea of not letting them get away with it or escape, but to slice them up. And then he asked God to put down his enemies. He asked God to act in anger. The Hebrew word has to do with God bringing the arrogant down from their lofty position. This often is referenced to casting down into hell. David is asking God to destroy his enemies physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And then he asked God to put his tears in the bottle. C.I. Schofield said that sometimes ancient East mourners would catch tears in the bottle and place them at the tomb of the loved one. These bottles were called lacrimatories and were made of glass and pottery, and David knew of them. When you're brought to tears, remember God sees the tears and those who are causing them. And Dr. McGee said that when he studied this psalm, he actually wished he had cried more. God does three things with our tears. He bottles them. Every tear is seen and known. He books them. The reason for every tear is on file, and he banishes them. He'll wipe away every tear. Then David asked God to cause his enemies to realize he turned back his enemies. David wanted his enemies to know that God had kept track of their deceptive evil and would show that when David prayed, he did answer. And when God did answer, David would know God is for me. And David acknowledges final praises to God. Verse 10. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So he offers this final series of praises to God. David praises God for his word. We cannot magnify God's word too much. David acknowledges God in his trust. Fear is conquered by faith. D.L. Moody's favorite verse is Isaiah 12:2. I will trust and not be afraid. David acknowledges his faithfulness to God. Fear did not prevent David from being faithful to worship God. And then David acknowledges the salvation of God. Salvation is from God always. You feel alone? Remember, you are not alone. When you're being attacked by enemies, you need to look at the scriptures. And when you feel so unlike yourself and depressed, step up your commitment to worship. Always maintain a trust in God and a trust in God's word. And remember, the tears you cry because of your righteousness and your enemy's evil are being stored in God's bottle, and God will pay back those evil for every tear you shed.